Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. A great show lined up for today with Mike Wood, Leon County Sheriff, talking with us here in the first hour. Then I've got Jack Rudlow bringing us all the news from the Gulf. The Gulf Specimen Marine Lab has their event tomorrow, Sharks in Chablis. That's very cool. And Miriam Dady has another wonderful guest in the business spotlight. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and car concept. We're your one-stop shop for
starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
So here we are again with another rousing edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. On a Saturday in October, Florida State football is today at noon. So for those of you who are preparing for the game today, you know that it's on ESPN at noon. FSU is playing the Louisville Cardinals, who, let's see, are unranked. And at that are 2-3. Seminoles go in today undefeated at 5-0. The 11th ranked Florida State Seminoles. Boys seem to be getting it together on the offensive side. Defense, still a few challenges there, I think. But prognosticators are favoring Seminoles in this bout. We shall stay tuned for that to find out what happens. Of course, if you are getting ready for more fun stuff through the weekend, you got a lot to choose from. All kinds of things going on, including tomorrow's wonderfully celebrated 6th annual Sharks and Chablis. Isn't that a cool thing? Sharks and Chablis. Well, this is the fundraiser to help support the work of the Gulf Specimen Marine Lab and Aquarium. Tickets are $45. You can go down there and enjoy a wonderful meal and have fun with all of the squigglies and the swimmies that are in those tanks. And we've got Jack Rudlow here in the second hour of the show to bring us up to date on that. And not just the event itself, but all the work that goes on down there and has been going on for now 50 years. I mean, Jack was a mere child when he and his wife Ann started this. Dear Ann, who has passed, we miss her dearly. But the two of them together published, I don't know, a dozen books over the years and have done remarkable work for the sake of medical research and science in general. Jack will talk about some of that that has gone on and some of the things of late that are even threatening our Gulf Coast environment and his work as an advocate for the protection and preservation of the Gulf, along with the educational work they do. Remarkable what they provide for school children, among others, including you and I, who get to go down there and, you know, hold hands with an octopus. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's just good living. And some great food. They'll have that going on. And yes, there'll be some Chablis, I'm certain. And you can enjoy yourselves with that. It's down there in Panacea. That happens tomorrow between 2 and 6 p.m. Other stuff going on around town, too. There's that Covey Film Festival up there in Thomasville our neighbors to the north that are hosting that. It's an annual thing, so you can check that out online. What else did I notice here? Oh, and then you've got the scarecrows at McClay Gardens. This is kind of cool. So apparently the folks at McClay Gardens are hosting this Scarecrows in the Gardens at McClay. That happens tomorrow between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. The public is invited, and you can see all those scarecrows that they have assembled thus far. So it's all being brought to you by the Friends of McClay Gardens. You can go now, and between the between now and the end of the month, through the 31st, you can enjoy the day with your family and take in the view of all of the various scarecrows there on display. How fun is that? Come on, I'm bringing you the good stuff here, right? That doesn't cost you an arm and a leg, man. We need more events, and let's all hear it for Alex Baker over there at the Tallahassee Mall, now known affectionately as the Center of Tallahassee, who is doing his best to try to revitalize what has otherwise been a sort of dead spot. And if you've not noticed, there's been a little bit of dust up there where, Alex has been pretty proactive. I was out there earlier this week and drove around, and now they're doing little tours. You know, there's so many of us that are, gawking and wanting to peek in at the progress that they've decided they're going to actually put you on a golf cart. And they take them in, I guess, in groups of, three or four at a time, something like that. And, they'll ferry you around the premises so that you get to see how cool this thing is. Cobblestone streets and roundabouts and this amphitheater that is supposed to house or seat 6,000 of us. Well, and the controversy came up because the city decided that, there was concern about the noise of, an orchestra playing Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite at Christmas time? Well, come on. I just think that, in fact, we need to relax a little bit and consider that there's a good possibility that this man, Alex Baker, has made one of the most significant contributions economically, not only to that region of the area of Northwest Tallahassee, Leon County, but to our community at large. I mean, goodness sakes, it's remarkable. But we certainly hope the best for that situation. And, if you follow it, you'll notice that Mr. Baker has been pretty proactive in trying to make it available to us all in a manner that is good for the community. And, it's been, looking at it from a bit of a distance here. We've tried to get him on the show, by the way. We've been asking Alex Baker to join us. You know what he told us? He didn't want to be on the show because he's been misquoted so often. And he's a little gun-shy now because, he comes to Tallahassee. He's trying to do this job. And apparently, we're not exactly sure how this is all working out for him, but apparently some folks have been misquoting him repeatedly. And he's just not real appreciative of that. So, can't say if that's the case. Certainly, I don't blame him. But we're going to keep reaching out to him. Maybe we can get him to come on the show and just give him a chance to tell his story. Because, the way it works here, if you're on my show, you get to have your day. This is your moment. We're not going to edit and clip and, manipulate. And yeah, no, that's not how it goes. You come in here and you tell us your story, and everybody gets to hear what you're talking about. That's how we're doing it with Mike Wood today. He's running for sheriff. He's the sheriff by appointment. And as the Florida Constitution dictates, he'll be in the general election about this time next year. So he's launched his campaign, and in doing so, he's getting a good amount of support. Remarkably, he's raised a lot of contributions. That's bidding well for him, and as much as a lot of folks believe in him. By the way, he's been with the sheriff's office for 32 years. We're going to find that out. And in that 32 years, Leon County population has grown by 170%. We've nearly doubled in size in that time. So whatever you're doing over there at Leon County Sheriff's Office, your job got bigger in the last 30 years. So we expect that we'll find out all about what's going on there with the county's efforts, Leon County Sheriff's Office, when Mike Wood is here momentarily. Prior to that, we'll have our dear friend Miriam Dady, our co-host, associate producer. She's got a guest for us in the business spotlight, so that's coming up right after the break. And I will tell you that we're fortunate that we have so many good sponsors who make this show possible, including our friend Annette McGuffey over there at A Country Rose Florist. They're now in their new location on 6th Avenue, right there in the heart of Midtown. You can find them online for the best in floral arrangements and fresh-cut flowers. Simply go to acountryroseflorist.com.
Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. Brought to you by pushtheenvelope.biz.
Hello there, Tallahassee friends. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. My guest today is from The Clothesline. Dana Rivera is here, and she's got a little bit of an attachment to this business. Dana, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And I understand that your boss can be pretty tough on you.
He can when he comes around.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like there could have been spankings in your past because it was your father.
Yes. Luckily, there weren't any spankings, but yes, he still is my father.
Tell me about this family business. How long have you guys been around?
Well, when I was five, our family moved to Tallahassee so my father could start the business. And then spring, we'll be celebrating 35 years. So you can figure out how old I am from there. So when I was five, I was running around the store, playing in the racks, trying to stay out of his hair. And now I'm there helping run the store.
Wow. So I think of the clothesline. I think of squeegees and the smell of paint and putting different cool designs on T-shirts. What was that like as a kid? Was that just a lot of fun? Did you get to play in it?
Well, as a kid, I think it's probably like any kid. It was just my parents' business.
Yeah.
And it did start off as that. It was selling recycled blue jeans and squeegeeing single shirts at a time. Now we've definitely evolved where screen printing is still a big part of what we do, but so is embroidery and promotional items. And now I have my four-year-old daughter running around the business, and she thinks it's as fun as can be.
I bet. I had the clothesline do just a few, I mean, not even a half a dozen embroidered hats as hostess gifts for a reunion I went to that was from college, from the School of Theater, FSU School of Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had to reorder 150 hats because everybody loved them so much. They were so cool.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun to be able to have, whether it's a reunion or your own artwork, to be able to talk to somebody that can make it look good.
Absolutely. And there really is no order too small or too big. We really try to service everyone. So whether it's an individual like you needing a few items or a business that needs thousands of items, we've got so many different things we can offer to really meet everyone's needs, which makes it fun and we can be creative.
So if I am imagining your mom and dad a bunch of years ago, 35 years ago, how did they say, yeah, we're going to just recycled jeans and print some shirts?
Well, they were young with two young kids and wanted to work for themselves.
Wow.
So they moved our family to Tallahassee, and my father worked in that industry, so it was something he knew how to do. And my mom had the artistic side.
I was about to ask, who's the artsy one?
My mom still does a lot of art, so wow. She had the art. My dad had the business sense, and they some good common sense and some luck and some hard work, and they started the business that's grown into what it is today.
Who was their first big client?
From stories I've heard, I know the first big school they worked with was FAMU.
Cool.
They started working, you know, it started off with just small people walking in, small orders, and then started working with FAMU and FSU, and from there really built up working with the government and local businesses.
Okay, so all the little 5Ks and 10Ks and family reunions.
Absolutely.
And then you get these big schools.
And that's still who we work with. We still mm-hmm. work with the family reunions and the individuals and the races, as well as large businesses locally and different locations throughout the country.
That's so neat.
FSU and FAMU are still huge customers of ours, as well as lots of government state agencies.
And this is what you wanted to do all of your life, right?
Absolutely not. Like most kids, I didn't want to go in the family business, and I'm very blessed that my family supported me in pursuing my passions. After trying several different things, I ended up as a sign language interpreter, which I did for the past 10 to 15 years, working both individually and for the state. And about 4 to 5 years ago, my father was ready to start putting in his retirement plan, which he earned, and asked me to come work with the family business. And I've loved every moment of it. It's been a great transition.
How about that? That is so neat.
And I still do that a little bit. That's still a passion of mine that I'll always have. But I truly enjoy and love being in this business and industry I'm in now.
I know that the clothesline also does a zillion different promotional items, right?
Yes, we do.
What would you say is that client that you haven't been able to reach yet? Are there people that just don't know what you do?
Well, a lot of times people don't know the breadth of what we do.
Right.
And we see that changing. We're known for doing t-shirts. People
right.
know they can come to us for their screen printing embroidery. I'd say when it comes to the promotional side, that's grown a lot the last couple years, and people are starting to realize we really are a one-stop shop when it comes to getting promotional needs, screen printing embroidery, getting your logo on any type of item.
Right.
We've also started this past year doing custom vinyl decals, so we can do mm-hmm. that as both you know, decals on cups, on windows, as well as on t-shirts. So really, we are the place to come, whether it's business or personal, uh-huh. to do any kind of custom imprinting.
Do you guys do cars?
We have done decals for
no
cars, yes.
No kidding. That's become a big thing.
It sure has. And yeah. we really can be creative. And I guess that's where, it's not that we haven't tapped into one industry, but people knowing there's all these new items we can do and ways to outfit people with their logos.
Yeah. So if someone listening wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to find you?
We can be found lots of ways. We can be found on the internet at clothesline.net. We also have a lot of information on our Facebook page. We're always putting out specials, special deals, different kinds of discounts.
Oh, that's a good
fun
idea.
Items we can display.
So they can like you, and then they're kind of on the inside rung there.
Absolutely. And good. We're always promoting new ideas and new things we can help with upcoming holidays or upcoming events. And you can also call or email us.
Excellent. And I know you've got a big anniversary coming up.
We do. Next year will be 35 years.
Wow.
So in the spring, we're going to have a great 35th anniversary party. Everyone's welcome. We're just starting to plan it. We have a lot of exciting ideas on the horizon to bring in the 35th year.
Oh, Dana, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate having you. Tallahassee, reach out to the Clothesline. It's clothesline.net. You'll get some great ideas between right now and Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. You can really stand out in a crowd because these guys can do what you can imagine. My name is Miriam Dady. It's Tallahassee Business Spotlight, and I want you to come back and see me next week. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are here with Sheriff Mike Wood, and we want to welcome the sheriff. This was a tough one. This was tough because Mike knows me. That never goes well in my favor because he and I actually have met on many occasions. You'll be happy to know, my friend, that those occasions were quite social in nature. So you don't have to start checking my arrest record. It's pretty short, thankfully, for all of us. We can be thankful for that. But Mike, it's a pleasure to see you. Glad to have you here. I know this is a busy, busy time.
So. It's a very busy time and very exciting, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having
me. Thanks for making the time available to us. We promise to keep you here for only a short time, because doggone it, this here's a pretty big county considering the number of folks. I mean, I think you said, Tallahassee is a small town with a lot of people in it, and that hasn't backed off, has it? We still see increases in population. Census data is telling us you better get ready because it's going to happen for the next 5 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's more and more coming. So that puts additional burden, I guess, or just certainly a requirement on all of us that the accompanying services, including law enforcement, various first responders.
Well, it provides us with additional responsibility.
Yeah. All that has to grow along with it, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does.
And, of course, the city has argued that they need more firefighters and they need more police officers out there helping us. And there's a bit of discussion, we'll say, about how we fund that.
Right.
When it comes to the county side, you know, Brian and Deloge and some of the other commissioners, Marianne Lindley, have said, hey, we balanced our budget. So, Mike, this is probably good news because, you know what? Your paycheck's going to cash.
It would appear for one more year.
And if you don't know the backstory here, Sheriff Mike Wood took the job under the appointment that Governor Scott issued back. When did that happen? It was Christmas of last year.
We lost Sheriff Campbell on Christmas Eve. There was an interim sheriff, and then ultimately I was appointed on January 23rd this year.
Yeah, well, this year, right? So you're still a newbie.
I'm a rookie.
Come on, man.
I'm a rookie.
So how's the job going? I mean, it's now been what? We'll call it 9-10 months, I guess.
It is. It's going well. It was certainly. It was more of an adjustment than I expected.
Really? How so?
It really was. Well, yeah, and I had someone, some wisdom field gentleman tell me it was a longer walk from my office to Sheriff Campbell's office than I realized when I had to fill those shoes. Sure. And it was. It's dramatically different being the final stop, rather than one of the stops along the way where I would present my ideas and suggestions to the boss and he would make the decision.
Now
I'm the boss.
It's on you. Yeah. So. Have you made some mistakes along the way in 9 months?
Oh, I've never made a mistake at all.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
That's a confession. No, actually,
your wife is listening to this. I'm just going to
She knows the
keep
truth.
Keep you honest, dear brother.
She knows the truth. No, I have. That's the beauty of working with the sheriff's office. You know, the one thing, and when I'm talking to folks in the community, we do so many things well, and we are such a wonderful organization, but we're not perfect, and we do make mistakes. And so one of the things I've learned in my in my career is when you make them, you recognize them, you own them, and you just try not to make the same mistake twice.
When that happens, and it's not just a mistake, but it becomes a public scandal, you know, law enforcement around the country has been subject to the scrutiny of communities and even the nation. That's got to be painful when you see a fellow officer, even if it's not in your town. I mean, it's another guy out there or a woman doing her job. Something went wrong. Something, either they made a mistake or they found themselves in a circumstance they just didn't know how to handle. Whatever the circumstance, the person in that position ends up being the problem. You know, that particular law enforcement officer is the one who then is. How does that affect you personally when you see?
Well, it impacts me personally as a leader of our organization, but as a law enforcement officer, you know, I've always felt these impacts along the way. And the one thing that we accept as we enter this profession is the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah. And so it's not forgiving, is it?
It's a pretty unforgiving sport, for lack of a better term. Yeah. And that's not to say that it's unjust. It's just that we're held to a very, very specific standard. Yeah. The community looks at us, and I do believe this. I believe this inside the sheriff's office, and I believe this is truly a legitimate phrase, but I think our leadership trickles down. So as the leaders go, so goes the community. And I think it's all impacting. And, you know, I know that we've had many incidents recently where law enforcement has come under a lot of public scrutiny. But what I would tell you very humbly in my 32 years with the sheriff's office, one of our keys to hopefully avoiding some of these circumstances is to be proactive in our engaging of the community and being familiar with the players and the community leaders so that we're having conversations before we have a problem.
How do you go about achieving that? How do you maintain those conversations? I mean, you have gatherings, parties.
That's a great
idea. Let's all go out to Sheriff Mike Woods' house.
Come on.
Have a barbecue, you know.
No, we're very proactive. Our organization, I mean, you would be hard-pressed to find a local, even as it relates to charities or church or organizations. I see our involvement in, I have guys that coach football, baseball. We're so known in our community. Yeah. You know, we're 615 employees strong at the sheriff's office, and so we really are this community. You know, so I would just tell you, organizationally, I'm very amenable, and I don't have regular meetings on a calendar. But you know, for instance, Dale Landry with NAACP, I have his cell phone number; he has mine. If we think there may be something on the front, I either call him or he calls me, depending on the circumstances.
Having to do with, in his case, race relations.
Sure, race relations. And those are, I can't tell you how significant that is. But
especially now, when we are seeing this played out nationally, Black Lives Matter screaming, we want dead cops, we want them now. I mean,
exactly.
Come on.
And what I can tell you is I've had multiple conversations with Mr. Landry and other people in the community, and the dead cops saying that hasn't permeated this.
And I think that it's fair to say that particular extremism doesn't necessarily represent the organization. If there is something to be said about Black Lives Matter as an organization, man alive, and listen to Bill O'Reilly talk about. Right, but then you have to stand up as the leader of that organization and say, that is not us. We don't agree with that.
Correct.
And that hasn't happened.
Well, and
to date, anyway, that I know of.
Well, in the absence of that, it creates a barrier, the absence of standing up and saying that. Because I would sit here and tell you that, 3 weeks ago, I attended a funeral in Okaloosa County for Deputy Bill Meyer, who was killed in action. And I can assure you, to his community and to his family, and to the law enforcement profession, his life was as equally as important as anybody's.
Sure.
So, I think...
You lost another deputy last year, too, in a very bizarre situation. This man was mentally deranged and set this whole thing up. I mean, basically, right? He
Very true. And, you know, we're coming up on the anniversary of the murder of Deputy Chris Smith. And he's a wonderful man. And we just recognized him posthumously at our Citizens Academy graduation this week. And, you know, his family has sort of, you know, well, not
how are they doing? That guess,
well, you know, you know, as well as they can.
Whatever. Yeah.
And, you know, he has a brother that works for the Florida Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
And his wife continues to stay in contact with us. And I've used this phrase when I talk with them and about them. You know, they're eternally connected to the sheriff's office family. We're family at the sheriff's office. And I think we're probably, I like to think we're a little unique to other law enforcement agencies. But I can tell you that the family, the sense of family we have is very, very noticeable.
Well, after 32 years of doing this, I would say you're probably the grandpa here.
Well, that is the bad news.
In this family of law enforcement officers, the Leon County Sheriff's Office, we've got Sheriff Mike Wood with us, graciously sharing his time. Because, you know, he's still working here. His phone is still at hand. So we're going to have to keep our comments clear and clean and short. Mike Wood with us. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson and Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson & Lawson, giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Sheriff Mike Wood. Man, you got to consider that the county does a fairly reasonable job of trying to keep us plugged into their stuff. There's this Citizens Academy, right, Mike?
Yep.
And that's a pretty cool thing. And then you can do ride-alongs. So, like, okay, let's just be honest here. Sheriff Wood, he gets lonely, you know, and he's on the job and he's riding along. He's thinking, man, it'd be great to have Brian with me right now.
What a great idea.
I mean, but see, with me, though, they have to keep me in the back seat behind.
With a cage between
With the
us.
Cage, you know, and they got me cuffed, and it's, yeah, it's just not comfortable. But you, however, my friend, I'm sure they would love to have you look into that. But that's a couple of examples there. Tell us about the Citizens Academy.
Well, we have a Citizens Academy, and what it entails is 10 weeks, one night a week. You come to the sheriff's office, and you're basically exposed to virtually everything we have to offer.
Yeah.
From our Criminal Investigative Bureau, we do a SWAT team demonstration at one juncture. You have a tour of the jail. It involves ride-alongs. It involves a night in our crime scene lab, you know, down where we do the fingerprint analysis and things
like
that.
See, I'm a very weird person, but I think that you really don't understand how life works unless you've spent a night in the jail. You really have to just see, and I would think that would be a really cool part of this whole Citizens Academy.
You know, the odd thing
is, we come out to the jail and you go, hey, enjoy yourself. We'll be back tomorrow.
The jail tour is one of the most popular parts of the Citizens Academy every time because, you know, it's something that, barring you, most of the public don't experience the opportunity to go behind the doors of the jail. So
it'll change your life, man. I'm telling you, you spend a night in county jail and it's like,
They say it's educational.
Well, I've had a lot of close friends over the years who found themselves very unhappy in life and just dissatisfied with their wives or their kids or their dog or whatever is bugging them. And I'm like, man, you just need to get arrested because you don't understand how good you have it right now. When that door closes, clunk.
It'll cause you to take inventory.
And the guy in the bunk above you, Dave, you don't know.
Dave is a nice guy.
I mean, sure. You're hoping so. And not too nice. You know?
I get it. Just, I get it.
You stay there. I'll stay here. At your expense, I apologize. We're having some fun here. But the reality is that most of us do not understand, I think. We don't experience, certainly, what it's like to be in your role as a law enforcement officer at any level. And so I think that having these opportunities that are provided by county to engage us are worthwhile. When you think about your 32 years and you think about all the stuff, I mean, that you've witnessed from day one right till now, how has Mike Wood changed in 32 years? How are you different, let's say, today than when you started?
Well, that's
as a person, man.
Wow, that's a large question. I would tell you that, you know, I hope I'm dramatically different than when I started, of course, you know, because when I started at 23 years of age, I was pretty sure I knew everything, and I'm absolutely sure now I know less now than I knew then and didn't know everything then, if all of that makes sense to you. So, but, you know, I tell you, you know, I've been married for 25 years. I have two daughters, both in college here. So my life has you know, moved in a forward direction.
Sounds pretty normal so far.
The sheriff's office has been part of my life. My wife and I dated for 7 years before we got married 25 years ago. So she's been, you know, she and I grew up with the sheriff's office as part of our life. So, you know, normalcy for us is probably not normal.
Curiously now, did she have a background in law enforcement herself? Was she involved in the sheriff's office? That's how you guys met?
No, absolutely not. We went to high school together here. We both graduated from Rickards High School. And we were friends in high school. We didn't start dating until several years after that. And
that's a good thing, isn't it? If you like the person you're married to, it helps.
That is the beauty of this whole process.
Be your friend first.
If all else fails, I kind of like my wife and my family. So, you know, always have that to fall back on. And that's a great thing, I promise you. I've experienced some things. I don't think I'm traumatic. Well, I'm not sure how to measure it or quantify it, but I've seen some wonderful things. I've been able to help people, and I've had the embrace of people that just truly appreciated what myself and the sheriff's office were able to do for them. And I've seen tragedies that I wouldn't even attempt to describe here, you know. But when I think about, you know, teenage suicides and hugging parents and being immersed in all that, you know, we've had tragedies within our own organization. Chris Smith is a classic, and I don't want to belabor, but I will tell you that, you know, I lived through the murder of Ernie Ponce de Leon and Sergeant Dale Green, who I have tremendous respect for.
Yeah, knew
the
them both
Police
well.
Department, wonderful men.
Yeah, they were.
And so that was very traumatic.
Yeah.
But after losing Chris, I realized that I probably didn't understand completely what the police department went through because I wasn't there, and having
this
lost
one
Chris
was right there in your own home.
Not to minimize anything for anybody. I mean, I think when it happened to us, we had a realization.
I remember watching Larry Campbell and the rest of you, and Sheriff Campbell was doing everything he could to not just completely fall apart because it was hurt so badly.
I believe this,
to lose
and,
this man.
I can't substantiate this, and I've said this publicly, and Sheriff Campbell has obviously has been a friend and a mentor to me most of my adult life, depending on when you think I became an adult. But
well, we're still waiting on that.
Yeah, you and I both. But, you know, I do believe when we lost Chris, that truly drained him physically. I think that had a true impact on
his health was not the best before that all happened.
Absolutely.
And you got to imagine, that took another serious toll.
I think that was a significant punch in the gut for him.
Well,
but, you know, it's changed me. But you know what? Also, I have benefited dramatically. I mean, I love the sheriff's office. I love what we do.
Yeah.
I love who we do it for. I love this community. I love the people at the sheriff's office.
Yep.
So, you know, I sort of have another, I don't want to say another family, but I have a sheriff's office family now.
Wife
and kids. Yeah. I mean, the people at the sheriff's office know Brenda. They know Michael Diane. They know Annie.
Sure.
They know my family.
Sure. And you got some really cool toys.
Oh, yeah. Annie,
who are you dealing with here, man? You got to help me out.
I can tell you that, you know, we have a lot of state-of-the-art equipment.
It's impressive.
You know,
I mean, the not only the camera –
that can zero in on my buttonhole.
Then
you've got the infrared.
We have the forward-looking infrared, the FLIR system.
Yeah, so. And then the night vision stuff.
Night vision, yeah.
So, okay.
And that's a safety issue for the pilots as well.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're running through the woods. Mm-hmm. You think you're invisible. Uh-uh.
Not so much. Not so much.
You're looking like, you know, a cigar and a bowl of milk. I'm sorry.
But, you know, when the pilots fly in the unincorporated areas for whatever reason they may, especially on nights where there's no moon and ambient light, it's kind of bizarre. You really can't determine up from down when it's just dark out there.
Wow.
And so the night vision is a safety issue. So the night vision goggles have enhanced our safety as well and our ability to catch sure. bad guys.
Folks, I tell you this, we have the primaries next August, just about a year from now or so, August 30th of 2016, and then the general election in November. Until that time, Sheriff Mike Wood will be on duty doing his job as the appointed sheriff for Leon County, courtesy of Governor Rick Scott at the passing of our dear friend Larry Campbell. In that capacity, he continues to serve us. He serves the agency that he serves, and the sheriff's office, I think, is fortunate to have him around. Let's see if we can keep him for maybe another 32 years. Who knows? He's looking good, though. He's okay. You're fine. I think you just keep eating your oatmeal. Cut back a little bit here and there if you have to.
There's room.
To keep doing your push-ups. and we'll be looking for you out there on the road. Say hi to Mike Wood for me when you see him, folks. He's a good man. Folks, that's all I've got for you here at the moment. We've got ABC News coming up at the top of the hour. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, saying thank you to Sheriff Mike Wood for being our guest this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back. We're here and you're there, and it's Saturday and the Florida State Seminoles are about to kick off at noon. If you're at the game and you're listening on your phone to me talk to you, oh, well, God bless you. I'm not sure. You must have your headphones on because there's no way, if you're tailgating right now or actually in the stadium, that you can hear a word of what I'm saying otherwise. But we do have a lot of folks who listen to the show from around the world, believe it or not. We've got listeners in Germany and Australia and Seattle, Miami. It's remarkable how many people listen to this show from various parts of the world and the country, of course, and around the region. Of course, we're live on 93.3 FM, our host station over there. We appreciate Barry Kay and all that they do for us, and we're happy to be among the family of program producers and broadcasters that are part of that station. But then again, you have opportunities to listen online. If you're not listening on a radio, you can listen to the live stream. So that's how a lot of folks around the country and around the world tune in. And it's available on TuneIn. That's the app, right? So you download TuneIn to your Android or your iPhone, and that's how they listen. So we're glad you're with us. And there's a repeat play of the show tonight at 9:30. So we air on 93.3 at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and then we're on tonight at 9:30 p.m. on Moose Magnificat, great internet radio station that sports the best music of all time, great music from every era, great conversations, some pretty inspiring thought from various speakers. So there's a blend of music and thought and conversation and humor and a healthy sampling there of the local music scene. We like to make sure that local music, musical artists, musicians are included in that music mix. So Moose Magnificat does that. Easy to find. If you go Moose Magnificat in your search, you'll find us on Live 365. It's on TuneIn. It's on CX Radio. Several networks are carrying it now.
And it's really our effort to say this is the real Tallahassee. You know, it's in keeping with our mission around here. We like to show off the very cool people that are doing very cool things. That's what we're about. Mike Wood is one of those folks. We got to listen to him talk with us here in the first hour. And another cool person is Jack Rudlow. So he's coming up here shortly to talk about the Gulf Specimen Marine Lab and their work in the last 50 years. Can you believe this? To bring to us what it is that is so unique about the Gulf of Mexico, as we often refer to the Gulf, or if you're from this part of the country, sometimes you pronounce it differently, you know, like goof. It's the goof. Anyway, so we're looking at those squiggly things and swimming things that are part of that Gulf Marine environment in the Gulf Gulf Coast Marine Lab. For its 50 years has been helping locals understand that better, getting us in a firsthand, literally, a way of touching and squeezing, not too much squeezing, or being squeezed by or pinched by a crab. That can be challenging. They've done some remarkable work to help protect and preserve the coastal environment. For the sake of all of our aquatic friends, and for the sakes of us, for our sake, that we in fact depend on this Gulf Coast marine environment for our economy in many respects. Certainly those who are involved directly, but all of us who are consumers of things like, hello, shrimp. I mean, you know, we pride ourselves on the quality of the shrimp and the oysters that come out of that environment. And wow. Here's Jack over there blazing away, having written several books, he and his wife Ann, over the years. And now we're celebrating the fact that he's being included in this Wall of Heroes by the National Geographic Society. We're going to learn more about that and their fundraising event, which is tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6. It's called Sharks and Chablis. Love that. In other news, we know that what's been going around town, a lot of it has to do with law enforcement. We did get to hear from Mike Wood, running for Leon County Sheriff. He serves currently as the sheriff by appointment with the passing of Larry Campbell back in December of last year. So really, he officially took his post as sheriff in January. But now there comes the general election in a year from now, in November of 2016, and several others have thrown in their hats. So you saw that in the Thursday's paper talking about how many folks are already in support of Mike Wood's candidacy. You've got Walt McNeil and a few other folks that have also declared their intentions. Mike, for his part, as we found out, has been with the sheriff's office 32 years. In that time, we've seen an amazing amount of growth in population. 170% of the population of Leon County. An increase since, let's say, 1970 to 2013. Yeah, it's there. It's all, you go back and look at those numbers. That's a lot of folks. And in that time, we've seen some very exciting and good things happen with law enforcement, the advancement of their technologies. We've also had some horrific tragedies, the loss of Chris Smith. We talked a little bit about that with Mike. And its impact on the sheriff's office and on this community. It's something that I'm certain many of us are still kind of bewildered by and find sort of numbing. It's difficult to get your head around the thought that has happened and this family and the family that is Leon County Sheriff's Office that's been affected by it. They press on regardless, and the technologies they apply to help protect us and even rescue us, more remarkably, are noteworthy. So money being well spent, I think, in the fact that the county has maintained its balanced budget, has worked hard to continue to provide services without having to lean on taxpayers for increases. I think They've run a good show over there in terms of how they've expended the resources they have available. Well, and what else do we have? Well, let's see. Looks like there was this one story that found rather remarkable back here earlier in the week, where this young man, a kid at one of the local schools here, was asked to change his attire. He showed up in class wearing a dress and declaring that he was gender neutral. And Scott Hansen, the principal there at the school, said, you know, it's causing a problem here. We've got a lot of kids that are, you know, acting out in reaction to this. And so they got a hold of parents and said, hey, you probably need to rethink this. And could you come and get your son here and find him something else to wear besides the dress? Okay, so this is all just now coming together. So this is just getting started, folks. We can imagine that there's going to be an ongoing debate about whether this was appropriate by the, you know, in the fashion of school administrators. Jackie Pons is already questioning whether the school acted properly, you know. And thus far, I haven't seen anybody questioning whether the parents or this student acted wisely. So, you know, it falls back to what the school did to try to deal with the situation. Well, this principal dealt with it at the moment by saying, well, okay, we got to at least get this thing under control. The easiest thing to do would be to ask the student to rethink this whole thing. So here we have the remaining portion of our show up ahead with Jack Rudlow here waiting patiently to join us. You stay with me. We've got more coming at you. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Merry Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
PhotoArc is a multi-year National Geographic project with a simple goal: to create portraits of the world's species before they disappear and to inspire people everywhere to care. National Geographic will showcase this important project through multiple platforms, including an exhibition that opens at the National Geographic Museum in Washington on Thursday, November 5th, featuring the work of photographer, speaker, author, teacher, and National Geographic Society fellow Joel Sartore. The exhibition will be on display in the museum until April 2016. Our very own and celebrated local marine hero, Jack Rudlow, who is the founder and president of Gulf Specimen Marine Lab in Panacea, has been added to this list of eco heroes, and as such has contributed to the National Geographic Photo Arc Project. He is our guest this morning, so let's welcome our good friend, Jack Rudlow. How are you, sir?
Fine.
You're looking rather crabby, but I'll say...
It's my nature.
I mean, I go right for the cheesiest line I can figure out in the first few minutes of this conversation. Jack, you have been a guest of the show on many occasions. We have celebrated your work at Gulf Specimen Marine Lab. I have to say, this feels good to finally have a little bit more recognition from none other than the National Geographic Society. So it's like we don't know you for 50 years, and then you just kind of shoot to stardom all in one swell swoop. It hasn't been that way, though, has it? It's been an arduous journey.
Oh, it's for 50 years.
It's ongoing.
Actually, right. You know, we're celebrating our fifth annual Sharks in Chablis.
Yeah.
That's coming up on Sunday at...
Right,
from
that's
two
tomorrow.
To four, right, yep. Right, right. From from 2 to 6.
From 2 to 6,
yeah,
tomorrow and, afternoon.
Right, and it's sort of mm-hmm. celebrating the 50 years, but also our very unique facility, which, you know, National Geographic has recognized. And
that's
essentially,
very cool.
The quick story behind this this thing is that Joel Satori has been going around the world photographing thousands of different animals at aquariums and zoos and you know, in the wild as well. And he happened to come across National Gulf Specimen, and he came in there, you know, and at night, and I went in, you know, after hours, I turned on the lights, and he flipped out. He'd never seen so many marine invertebrates under one roof. So we had a conveyor belt line going for the next 24 hours of bringing the animals out, putting it in the studio that he'd rigged up, shooting it, and he got over 60 animals in one day, which is a record for him.
That's
so
fantastic.
You know, he was ecstatic about it, and you know, now everybody can really get to see all this diversity of life, and that's what we're all about. The people in Washington are going to see wonderful pictures, and they're going to see all the pictures that he took at Gulf Specimen.
That's fantastic.
But if you come to Sharks in Chablis, you're going to get to see and touch and smell and even taste the different creatures.
You know, that reminds me.
The taste
me.
Is the seafood dinner.
That's all right. We actually get to sample how good these creatures can be with a little lemon and butter.
Yes.
At that point, though, we have an opportunity to do something that is unique in that you really do get to be close up. And in many cases, you are able to touch them or whatever. Some would rather not be touched.
There are some we don't want you to touch because they will touch back.
Yeah,
but
and,
nevertheless, there's a great many.
But what did you say earlier? You know, you haven't lived until, you know,
you've been pinched by a crab. Yes, right. Right.
No. That's the octopus holding your hand.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
yes.
true. Yes, yes,
I
yes.
mean, come on.
Well, both ways. But, I mean,
Isn't that a Beatles song? You know, when the octopus
Yeah, right,
holding,
the octopus garden or something.
Something
like
that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yellow
yes.
submarine, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But to your point here, and this is a write-up from the Cullen News that came out earlier in the week. If you didn't catch this, great little article here from McCullough News about Jack, citing the fact that among all of this work, 4,700 species have been photographed to date that are all part of this photo arc project. And for you, Jack, to be included in that, we got to see this video. And folks, we'll make sure we post this video if we can on our website. You'll be able to actually see this presentation. What did they do? They had you fly up to Washington, and you got to speak to this crowd of people.
Oh no, that was last year's Wetlands Award.
Oh, that was
Award.
It. That was
yes,
oh, okay.
Right.
Beg your pardon.
We talked about that last year.
Yeah,
yeah. So we won this National Wetlands Award. It was by my wife posthumously, but we talked about you know, the value, the need to save. Wetlands, and oddly enough, this was at the time when Wakulla County was rejecting the wetlands and unfortunately voted it down, so we now have zero wetland protection on the county level.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I went before I went to Washington. I was one of the few people that were selected, and I told them the story of Gulf Specimen, and they made a little video out of it.
Well,
this
I love that video, and what I drew from that particularly was your observation that you shared with the crowd that comparatively, people would rather experience nature, these creatures, firsthand than watch them on a video screen. So there's that
right.
part of your story in which you've got all these monitors everywhere. People aren't looking at the monitors.
No,
they're looking
That was the idea, is that we thought, well, there's, you know, signage is okay, but if we could actually have these little videos and clips of all these different sea creatures and explain them, people would go in. So we spent a lot of time and a chunk of money putting up TVs doing all that. And when the kids came in for the first time, I'm sitting there holding my breath to see what happens, and none of them looked at the TVs whatsoever. They wanted to pick up the spider crab and connect with the sea turtle and see the octopus and real things, real flesh and blood things. And
that's fantastic.
Cameras just don't do that.
No. In fact, folks, if you're just getting to know the work that Jack and his wife have done and did over these many years, we lost her here a couple of years ago, sadly. But her work continues through the many, many people who are involved in this. Jack, of course, principally. But you've got a great crew of folks, some family, some friends.
Yep.
And then this community of followers who were there when you released Allie back into the wild. What an amazing day that was.
The Park Service at Bald Point estimated there were 1,500 people came to see Allie leave. Allie was a big 200-pound-plus loggerhead sea turtle that came in comatose, and we all thought she was going to die, but we worked with her, nursed her, got her back to health,
and
then we had this huge festival thing of people, bringing her down to the water and letting her go, because one of our volunteers, Keith Grumbly, has been working on Facebook and going back and forth, and there've been news releases on her progress.
Yeah,
and she had a huge following of people that were there, and we've had other turtle releases ever since.
Remarkable.
And that's one of the things we're trying to raise money for at our Sharks in Chablis. Is we joined this pier initiative where we're encouraging people, if they catch sea turtles on the pier, to take care, to call us. And so in the process of putting up signs up and down the coast, we were besieged with turtles this year. And really, our facilities were really taxed, and we expect that to continue to happen. We had a turtle the other day wrapped with fishing line, cut into him, and we had a vet that had to do surgery on the turtle. But what I'm saying is that we really need to get some funds for the turtle rehab facility there with more sterilization and filters and all that sort of thing.
Well, in fact, funding is a big part of this whole effort, folks. And if you're just getting to know Gulf Specimen Marine Lab and the aquarium there, it's a remarkably unduplicated work that you really do need to embrace. Bring your family, bring your friends, enjoy this. It's tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 6, and as such, we will take just this quick break. We're talking with Jack Rudlow, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Sharks and Chablis is the name of the event. This is the sixth annual celebration of this fantastic work that Jack and his wife started now 50 years ago. The Gulf Specimen Marine Lab, also referred to as the Gulf Specimen Aquarium, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
yes.
Either way. The point is, you've made this your life's work, in which you've brought to us a tremendous amount of insight, the medical research, among many things, that has come out of the work that you've been doing is remarkable. And then there's all the little kids, like me, who just want to see squiggly things. And that's really been sort of the passion for you, too, I think. If you don't know Jack is this kind of crusty, crabby old guy who everybody thinks he's half crazy anyway.
And never grew up,
thank God. Because in that fascination with nature's benefit, nature's bounty, we'll say, the very fact that you have that sort of granular connection with something like a loggerhead sea turtle. I mean, folks, if you don't get this, I dare you to look into the eyes of a loggerhead sea turtle as she looks back at you and you realize there's another person there. And I mean, with the eyes that are more endearing than a deer, that's a creature that, how long did you have her in rehab?
A year.
A year of time brought her back to health. Yeah. I know she was actually maimed, wasn't she? She had like a flipper that was damaged. Or
She had bites. She had flippers, but she was almost comatose when we got her.
A mess.
But went from that to where we had to put food in her mouth to where before she was released, we'd throw a crab in there, which is one of their favorite diets.
Yeah, yeah.
And she chased the crab all over down there and crunch. And so it was real time National Geographic stuff that people got to see.
I'll recall the little warning signs, she may easily mistake your finger
right.
for a crab leg, so beware.
Yeah, but you know, the nice thing about our area is, in Gulf Specimen, is that you can get up and you can look at a turtle and look close to a turtle.
Yeah.
And we don't want you to put your hands in there. But consider every other aquarium
right.
has got glass walls up there. And you are a part. And in our place, we encourage, not turtles, you can't touch the turtles, but we encourage touching. We encourage picking up starfish and sponges and anemones and all that and connecting. Because as soon as you lay your hands on it, it goes straight to your spine and to your central nervous system. And a lot of cases, you overcome fear. You didn't think you could do it, and you did.
Well, there's certainly a matter of healthy respect, we'll call it, and fear that is appropriate. But a lot of these for a lot of these creatures, it really is a matter of getting to know them.
That's
and
right.
then here's the fascinating part for me is how the ecosystem and the integration of all of these species and the natural environment is revealed. You know, we begin to understand that from the very smallest, animal up to the largest, it all is connected. So part of that effort for you has not only been to preserve, but then to advocate for the preservation. And with the Gulf being polluted as it has been, the most notorious, of course, infamous being the BP Horizon incident.
Yes.
I think you told me on one occasion that may never, ever be overcome. But if it finally recovers, it'll be about 100 years from now.
It's slowly getting there. And that's one reason in this photo arc with National Geographic that I got so interested in it.
Yeah.
When we had the oil spill,
right.
we called it Operation Noah's Ark, which was to try to prevent oil from coming into our little enclave. And the idea is, if it really gets hit, we might be one of the few surviving places around here. And just in conversation and in a quick story, so someone said, we'll call it Operation Noah's Ark. The response was huge. It was overwhelming because inherently that biblical story is part of our genes
else. It resonates with us.
All the conservation efforts that have come back, all the protections, all the zoos, all the aquariums, is part of that same great story of we're going to go under impossible arms, take a tiny amount of things, save them from whatever, and then hope that they will repopulate, the earth.
Right.
And that's why that Noah's Ark, photo arc, the whole thing is all part of the same thing. So next thing I know, I was on BBC World News and Fox Network came down broadcasting live and it was just, it was just carried away by it, and it was because of people's need, and we had volunteers digging up the pipes and working with us day and night in sweltering heat, trying to protect against the oil, because it had hope and it had some sort of idea that we could do something. And I think, that's stronger than the politicians, the developers, the people that want to, wreck the earth or cut the trees or bulldoze it or build the roads or smash the place down there. The Noah's Ark aspect is stronger than that.
People get it.
Yeah. The politicians don't get it. The people get it. And then we hope someday the politicians will follow.
Well, somehow we hope that there is a connection there.
Yeah.
In fact, not only then are you preservationist in many respects, you're researchers, you're scientists, you're advocates, and then you're educators. I mean, that's the other part of this thing that I have found particularly remarkable, I suppose, and frankly to be cherished, is that you invite families and school kids and classrooms of kids to come and experience and learn. And so you're proactive in that capacity. Talk a little bit about some of the
I will. And one of the
side.
Well, one of the real interesting things, and this will show up in our silent auction, by the way, Christopher Still, who's a very famous Florida artist, and his murals hang in the House of Representatives and so on, donated some murals to Gulf Specimen, and he's also sending some prints up for the silent auction, as Joel Satori is with National Geographic.
Okay.
But the story about Chris is that he came by, and he's written this up, when he was 11 years old, and he came to Gulf Specimen, and he came and he wanted to know what a sea squirt was, and I sat down with him and I towed him around and everything else, and he said that was one of the pivotal things in his life that turned him to this artistic career where he did all this intricate drawing and all that, going back to a sea squirt at Gulf Specimen. So when the oil spill came, that was his contribution, was to come and to donate murals, and actually, you know, they were murals he'd done before, but he actually paid for the whole aluminum things.
They're on display there at the lab.
That aquarium. Picture of in Geographic that's going to be hanging on the walls is a picture of me in our arc or photo, you know, our wooden arc full of fiddler crabs. And behind it, you can see Chris's paintings and drawings in there. So I get stories all the time of, hey, I'm in marine biology or I'm in environmental science because I read your book, The Sea Brings Forth, when I was in high school or something like that.
Wow.
So it's kind of fun, you know, all right, I'm about to be 73 years old. And but it's nice to sit back. But our real problem is sustainability into the future. We want to make sure in the next 50 years there is a Gulf Specimen.
Right. And folks, we really need to pay attention to that because, in fact, that's part of the reason that Jack is here. It's our intention to promote this event and encourage you to participate, not just tomorrow during this Sharks and Chablis benefit, but throughout the year. Make it a part of your daily and weekly and monthly annual giving, whereby you get involved supporting them financially, get involved by getting people involved, get classrooms to participate, get your school teachers to schedule a field trip, buy a copy of his book. How many books have you published?
Well, between my wife and myself, it's going on almost a dozen. And we have a membership too, that you can become a member of Gulf Specimen. You get our newsletter and you get discounts at the gift shop and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they'll send a shark to your door.
Yeah, absolutely.
To collect.
Yeah. Thrashing and kicking and all that stuff.
Remember the old Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
Hello.
Here's a shark.
Yeah. Okay. No sharks are coming to your house.
Right.
However, you can participate in Sharks and Chablis. Tickets are on sale there at the door. $45 includes beer and wine and local seafood. The menu, by the way, the food is, from my experience personally, is fantastic, and it's even bigger and better this year than ever. And they have this very special guest, Jim Fowler, for all of us who grew up watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Well, he's going to be there, so that's very cool. Who knows? He might even let you pet his owl or something.
Yeah, he might bring a lion. I don't know. You never know with Jim.
There we go. Folks, stay with me. We've got Jack Rudlow. We're talking about Gulf Specimen Marine Lab and Aquarium, and you are listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
We're back, and we're talking with Jack Rudlow. We're going to continue our conversation here as we get to know what's been going on with this young fella. He's only 72 years old and doesn't look a day over 71, actually. So with that, we have Sharks and Chablis, the sixth annual benefit for Gulf Specimen Marine Lab and Aquarium featuring Jim Fowler. Come on, this guy's a rock star. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Everybody, come on, if you're over 35, well, okay, if you're over 45 years old, you can't say you don't know Jim Fowler and Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I mean, I got it's legendary. Anyway, so he's going to be there. They got live music, great food, beer and wine, live sea creatures, and Jack Rudlow, who I mean, you buy a copy of his book. He might even autograph the book for you. You don't know, you know, and maybe, you know, you can take him out for lunch. And things happen at Gulf Specimen Marine Lab that are unexpected. And when that happens, some of those serendipitous things that have happened to you over the years, I know you've got several stories about sea creatures. We've talked about Allie, but others that you've brought to your facility, and everybody kind of went, wow, how did that happen, right?
Yes.
And then those stories are brought to our school children through this mobile, is it called Mobile Aquarium?
Yeah, it's the Seamobile.
Seamobile, okay.
The thing with the big hammerhead shark on the top.
Tell us about Seamobile. I love this.
Well, we used to, from time to time, bring, an aquarium and tanks to some of the exhibits and that sort of thing. And
yeah.
That wasn't really something I was doing much of, but my son Cypress, who manages Gulf Specimen, really had a kind of an interest in that, but it was such an arduous thing because you'd have to get the animals together, you have to keep them alive, then you have to set them up, then you have
a lot of stress on the animals.
A lot of stress on the animals.
Including the human ones. Yeah.
And the humans and everything else. So we'd kind of come in dragging from these things, you know, at night, trying to put things away and take care of them. So we came in, we had some kind of little trailer that we could go around with. So to cut through it, we designed, a friend of ours, David Corbin, designed it on the back of a napkin. We kind of sat there and wrote down, so we should have a big shark on the top of it, and we'll have traveling touch tanks.
I love it.
Mind you, we're the only thing like this in the world that has traveling touch tanks. Nobody else does. Dang good reason for it, because it's very expensive, and it leaks, and it takes a lot of maintenance, and it takes a lot of work. But nevertheless, we come up to a school or a festival, and it's full of creatures, and people love it.
That
they
is
just
very cool.
Get in and do it. And it was actually through the Williams Foundation in Thomasville and Jimmy Buffett that we were able to get the money to basically do a lot of the build, and then we added the rest.
Yeah.
But, so it exists, and it's there.
Yep. And that's always the challenge, and especially for you folks, because so much of your time you spend focused on the work itself. I mean,
that's
the
right.
Advocacy, the science, the education, all that you do, the work to preserve and protect. And there's just not enough hours in the day to then spend on fundraising.
No, to raise money is a whole separate thing, and we need lots of help on that.
Well, folks, here's our opportunity. The first thing you can do is go down there tomorrow and experience this for yourself. Buy yourself, I don't know, a couple of dozen tickets. Give them to your friends. Jack might even give you an extra, I don't know, hush puppy or something if you did that. But the point being, that money then is immediately translated into ongoing support for this organization. And it is vital. If you think this is just a neat little hobby, no, this is a contribution to us. It is a contribution to our Gulf. It is a community. It is a contribution to the ecosystem as such. And then again, worldwide, because the work that you've done, Jack, has had implications worldwide in various sectors and in various ways. The medical research that has come as a result of your contribution.
Discovery of new drugs, we've been involved in that.
And yeah, yeah.
Finding things that grew on wharf pilings and is now actually used in cancer research, Alzheimer's, and even this one particular little creature has substances that have reversed stroke completely in mice, you know, and nothing else has ever done that. And this is something that grows on your boat bottom.
Wow.
We've sent toadfish up into outer space aboard the shuttle and sponges. It's really amazing. This one little, you know, funky golf specimen in the woods of Panacea, Florida, has reached out to the scientific community with 1,300 institutions from Harvard, Michigan State, Florida State, University of Florida.
Astounding.
Everywhere.
How many logos did you count the other day?
Okay, that's right. So we started counting logos, and we ended up with getting logos and putting them on pages. 42 pages, and then we're still going, you know, of places around the country and around the world that have gotten specimens from Panacea.
Isn't
there's
that
over
incredible?
700 scientific publications that cite Gulf Specimen as their source of supply.
Do these folks show up at your doorstep? I mean, do they come and say...
Now and then, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, now and then someone's traveling over from Wisconsin and said, I'm so-and-so. And
I published my first my dissertation, my first article, little series.
We've had that. We have, right now, I'm not being able to help her that much this week, but there's a young lady from Baltimore who's looking to work with butterfly rays.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they seem to have all disappeared. But we went out looking for them and all that stuff, and she's doing this for her
doctoral
dissertation.
You're humble about this. And folks, I have to tell you that if you were to meet Jack Rudlow in the grocery store, it's just not a big deal. You know, he's a nice guy. I mean, I make fun of him because, you know, that's my job. But he really is a nice guy. And then, you know, he'd be there getting his milk and his eggs just like the rest of us. But you wouldn't realize that he's had a jellyfish named after him.
Oh, yes, right.
You have a Jack Rudlow jellyfish out there somewhere in the Mediterranean.
It's off Madagascar.
Oh, that's what it was.
It's called Chirosella rudlowi. And when I was a kid just out of high school, having just booted up recently out of FSU, I was starting Gulf Specimen, and I managed to talk my way into the International Indian Ocean Expedition. I was 20 years old and the youngest person on there, but nobody thought to ask the president of Gulf Specimen, which was a box of stationery, a dog, and a station wagon. And I got myself to Madagascar, and one of the collections that I had done, I went out on a boat. They were learning to shrimp, so I had learned a little bit about shrimping and had showed them how to do some of it. And we pulled up, among many other specimens, because that was my job there, was this jellyfish, a stinging sea wasp. And I pickled it and essentially forgot about it, and then got a note, you know, about 45 years later from the Smithsonian saying, you know, we found this jellyfish in the collections, and it's a new species. So last year when we went to Washington for the wetlands thing, we got to meet them. And I saw that they have just published the article on Chirosella rudlowi and the history of it. And to me, that's the greatest honor, is to be named after a stinking
jellyfish. Does it look like you in any respect?
Well, we're a little blobby, but... the thing is, it says that I have stung developers and polluters and legislators and other people over the years, and I feel that's a very fitting name, and I'm very proud to have done that.
Well, you see why I love this guy, because he's so much like me in that respect, I suppose. It's about the people who love you and the people who don't. I mean, that's kind of how it goes in life. Folks, Jack Rudlow, our good friend and a good friend of so many of us and to this community, and to the many sea creatures who have a note of thanks to offer as well. And on behalf of our Gulf Specimen creatures, let me say thanks, Jack,
for
Brian, being there for us. And thank you for being here today. Folks, that's what I got for you. Another great show with our good friend Jack Rudlow. We look forward to having you back again next Saturday. I'll be looking for you tomorrow afternoon down there at Sharks and Chablis. This is the show that we love so much because it brings you all this great stuff, and we'll have more of it for you again next week. So come on back. We're the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'm Brian Cerny, inviting you to come back next Saturday for more. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts smoking hot summer savings are going on now. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Tosh, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with your purchase of any item $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts Smokin' Hot Summer Savings going on now.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.